The kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Amen. God's word to us this morning comes to us from Hebrews chapter 2, beginning with the 10th verse. In bringing many sons and daughters to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through what he suffered. Both the one who makes people holy and those who are made holy are of the same family. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters. He says, I will declare your name to my brothers and sisters. In the assembly, I will sing your praises. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, he says, here am I and the children God has given me. Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is, the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. For surely it is not angels he helps, but Abraham's descendants. For this reason he had to be made like them, fully human in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. This is the word of the Lord. It has been said that anyone who doesn't think that Christmas lasts all year long doesn't have a credit card. Now, I hope that that's not the only remembrance that we have of celebrating Christmas this year, but it is true that there can be quite a letdown after Christmas. Part of that might be because there's such a buildup to celebrating Christmas, right? And much of our buildup is in the outward trappings, you know, the visiting and the gathering and the hosting and the decorating and the lights and the baking and the gifts and all of that is, and it's all good. But there's also an emotional buildup to Christmas that we can crash from if we're not careful. And that emotional buildup is this. We put so much pressure on celebrating the day, celebrating the holiday, to kind of solve all of our problems. Like everything is going to be okay once we get to Christmas and we just celebrate it. But then, if our celebration of Christmas doesn't turn out exactly the way that we were hoping it would, or maybe it lifted our spirits a bit, but they haven't stayed all that lifted, or maybe they didn't lift our spirits at all. Maybe the Christmas experience has just left us a bit disillusioned. That can happen. Well, we have a word of God before us today in Hebrews chapter 2 that helps us with that. It helps us get over the post-Christmas blues. And it's a word of God that helps us understand that Christmas truly can live in our hearts and live in our lives throughout the year, because the miracle we celebrate at Christmas, which is the Word becoming flesh, the eternal God coming into our existence, that's just the beginning of the miracles that God works for us in the person of Jesus Christ. This is a word, Hebrews chapter 2, that speaks of the baby Jesus with a term that is rarely used in the Bible. He is called our brother. And as a brother, he's somebody who's in our family. He's somebody who relates to us. He's somebody who identifies with us. And when you think about it that way, that means that the Christmas miracle can live with you throughout the year, into next year, because you've got a brother who is walking beside you. So let's take a December 26th journey with the writer to the Hebrews, and let us behold your Bethlehem brother. What this holy writer reminds us of is so important. His cradle led to the cross. And his cross helps us overcome our crosses. I'm not trying to judge anybody here, but are you going on a diet after Christmas? A lot of us think about that, right? A lot of us think about the good amount of eating we've done over the holidays, and we think, well, maybe I should go on a diet. And the thing with diets is there's a temptation to stop being on a diet, like 2 or 3 days or maybe 2 or 3 hours into that thing. That's when it's good to go on a post-Christmas diet or a New Year diet with somebody. Because then you have somebody who can help you, who can give you moral support. You can be there for each other. Don't quit now. Keep at it. You can do it. You know, that kind of thing. Well, first century Jewish Christians had the writer to the Hebrews for that. Not support in not falling off of a diet wagon, but instead support in not falling off the Jesus wagon, of falling away from the Christian faith, because there were very real and oppressive pressures on them to do just that, to fall away from their Christian faith. Jewish Christians of the first century were doubly oppressed. First of all, they had friends and family members in the Hebrew community that were disowning them for their Christian faith. Then they had a government, the Roman Empire, that while it did not persecute the Judaism that they used to be in, they were persecuting Christianity. So you see, it was real easy to think, I might be better off just kind of throwing in the towel on all of this. And that's where the writer to the Hebrews comes in with his letter in the New Testament. It is one long encouragement to Christians to not throw in the towel on Christianity when you're getting persecuted and oppressed. Well, how do I do that, writer to the Hebrews? The first thing he would say is take a long, hard look at the one that you are tempted to turn your back on. So, the letter to the Hebrews is this magnificent full-length portrait of Jesus Christ. And he is painted with a picture that is rich in Old Testament imagery. So many Old Testament scriptures are spoken to us in the New Testament book of Hebrews, and we understand why they're there in the Old Testament. Oh, that's what God was getting after when he, for instance, gave prophecies to the prophets to write down. That's what God was getting after when he gave the people of Israel this intricate worship system with all of that sacrifice and sanctuary and substitution. All of that was meant to point them to Jesus Christ. And Jesus is presented in the book of Hebrews as the glorious Son of God. But he's also presented in the way that we find him in this word before us this morning, which is, he's our brother. He's just like you and me. True God, yes, but born into our world, taking on our flesh so that he can identify with us. And so the writer to the Hebrews is saying, that's why you don't want to throw in the towel on this guy. Because he's right there with you. And he has done everything to be your substitute before the judgment seat of God. Now, for Jesus, our brother, that meant suffering. Here's how the word before us says it today. Jesus had to be made like us, it says, fully human in every way, in order that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. And so when the child of Bethlehem came into our world, he knew this was going to mean suffering. So it was foretold from the very beginning in the Garden of Eden when our first parents sinned. So it was foretold at the beginning of the New Testament when a man named Simeon held the baby Jesus in his arms. And he said, among other things, that this child is going to grow up to be a sign spoken against. The cradle of Jesus leads to his cross. By design. Not an accident. Not an unfortunate happenstance. But instead, that was God's plan. And you know, I can't help, when I read these words in Hebrews 2 on December 26th, the day after Christmas, I can't help but think of the old church tradition of what to do with the church Christmas tree. And generations ago, often what happened is the tree after January 6th, Epiphany Day, would be stripped of its limbs. And then all you had was a trunk. And then the trunk would be fashioned into a cross. And that cross went up in Lent. And if not at the beginning of Lent, certainly for Good Friday. And this was a very simple but dramatic way in which God's people huddled around this truth. The cradle of Jesus leads to his cross. By design, that was God's plan. Christmas is such a big deal, not just because of the miraculous birth and the peaceful setting and the angels and the shepherds, not just because of that, but because he came to be our brother and he came to be our substitute. And we do well to see the manger scene that way. You know, if he stays in our mind and in our heart, the babe of Bethlehem, if he stays the baby in the manger in our mind and in our heart, there really is no reason to celebrate Christmas. But in the Bible, we are told that after the manger scene comes our brother's perfect life. Every step of the way, even as a child for us, every step of the way as our substitute. And after the manger scene comes that walk up the hill that is called Skull and to the cross where all of our gossips and all of our lies and all of our lusts and all of our hatred and all of our unclean thoughts and all of our unkind words were just foisted on his shoulders. And he took them. He took every one of them, our brother did. He paid for them in full. And that was true back then. It's true today, and it will be true tomorrow. At the cross, you see what all the Christmas rejoicing is about. Our sins taken away so that we can stand before a holy God. That's why the baby Jesus came to be our brother, and we need him every day of our life. And here's why. Because when we truly accept him and his journey to the cross from the cradle, that's when he helps us with our crosses. And we've got them, right? In fact, Jesus said we would. We have our crosses to bear. Jesus said more than once during his ministry, he said, pick up your cross and follow me. Our Bethlehem brother says to us today that if you are my disciple, you're going to have crosses to bear. Now, the Christian's cross to bear is not merely a hardship or a difficulty that is just common to the human experience. It is instead a difficulty or a hardship that we suffer because we are God's children in a world that militates against the ways of God. So, to suffer physical persecution because you refuse to silence your faith when you live in a country that is run by a religious government that is not Christian. That's a cross. But it's also a cross when you suffer psychological persecution. Because, for instance, you get passed over at work for that promotion because you won't play that game where you put your Christian principles away and you cheat. Or you suffer the psychological persecution at school, let's say. In college, you confess your faith and you refuse to be silent about it, even though you're made fun of. That's a cross to bear. But let me just add one more category of Christian crosses. And I think this is the one that the writer to the Hebrews is talking to us about today. It's Satan's persecution. And he does it with this temptation that he whispers in our ear. The temptation to doubt your place with God. Doubt that you are in the family of God. And the proof that he uses is the hard time you're going through. Whatever you're suffering, he's turning that into evidence that you must not be God's child. Would God do something like that to you? Is that the kind of God you have? Can you really call yourself a child of God when this stuff is going on in your life? Would you be in his family and have this sort of thing happen? When he whispers that in our ears, that's a cross to bear. What does our Bethlehem brother do to help us there? This is what it says. Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those being tempted. How often do we think about this? There is no suffering that you or I can bear, no temptation, no hardship, no struggle, no trial that we can go through that Jesus hasn't already gone through, that he identifies with. Jesus knows everything we're going through, not just because he is the omniscient God, but because he's been there as a human being like you and me. He has been there. He has walked down that road. He identified. Oh, perfect, mind you. Perfect, yes. Jesus always has been, always will be the Son of God. But listen, that does not mean he hasn't experienced the pain, the trouble, the temptation to doubt his place with the Father. And so what does he say to us when we doubt our place with the Father because of what we're going through? Well, he says this, my sister, my brother, my suffering never kept me from being the Son of God. And your suffering never means that you are not a son or daughter of God. You have not lost your place in God's family. I have made sure of that. I took away your sin. And I made you new. And this is Jesus talking to us. And he says, while the suffering that you may be enduring right now may be a consequence of your sin, it is not a punishment for your sin. You know why? Because I took I'm your brother, and I took that. Every last bit of punishment before a holy God, I took for you. And when I did, I gave you something. I gave you my holiness, my righteousness, and that's who you are. It's not who you might be. That's who you are. And that means that you do have the power in your struggle against sin. You do have the power to say no to sin And it means that you are a person who participates in my suffering every time that you suffer, knowing as my sister or brother, you know that you will have the same outcome as me. Glory in heaven. That's what our brother says to us this morning through Hebrews. And so, my friend, I say to you on this December 26th, when you have a cross to bear, your Bethlehem brother knows it. And he knows exactly what it feels like, but he does more than that. Not only does he give you the strength to bear it, he is your strength to bear it and to bless it. I checked my email last night, and there was already an ad in there, blaring across the screen. Everything you didn't get for Christmas is on sale now. Isn't that something, how, we start thinking about that right away? I hope that you can join me in this thought. This Christmas, just like every other Christmas, we got everything. We got everything. We got the whole package. Because unto us is born a child, and more than that, a brother. That we might have eternal life, he went from the cradle to the cross, and that we might have help. And I mean real help every day of our life. He gives us the strength to bear our crosses. Jesus is the greatest Christmas gift. And that's all year. He lasts all year. Amen.
This message was a production of St. Marcus Lutheran Church. For similar content, subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, or our YouTube channel. For more information about how to support our urban gospel ministry in Milwaukee, please visit stmarcus.org.